Cradle not your crystal ego, still the cog and snatch the wheel. Beds of dirt are all that we know, save that neath death's reign we kneel. Tremble in the winds of bombast, tossing futures to and fro, weaving, ripping cloth of autumn, all seasons towards winter flow. Waver not as onward you go, drifting on the waves of time. Songs of love are all that we know, feel the rhythm, taste the rhyme. Close a grip upon the wind now, never hesitate, oh no, to latch on any chance to let your perseverance show. Wonder not how time and chaos all their symphonies compose. You would never cease to wonder till you fell to death's repose. Cry out loud with voice of thunder, serenade the stars on high. Let not any aspiration yet without fulfillment die. Lift your soul in jubilation, live for every raindrop holds in its tiny perfect globule all the beauty of a rose. Silence floats upon the surface as a fog or mist it blows, swirling evermore around us, here and now are all we know. Hope, in all her rueful grandeur, looks down on the earth and knows that there are still many waiting, many people, high and low. On the peaks and in the gutters, people sigh but dare to hope that the flowing, fleeting moments bring them ever closer home. Faith and love are all that we know. Through our works, our faith we show. If the will of God we do here, home to heaven we may go. On Tuesday, July 20th, 2010, at 4 p.m., Clint Sparks, age 19, was tragically killed in a car accident. His obituary read as follows. Clint was born May 4th, 1991, to Rick and Lynn Sparks in Kansas City. Clint was a 2009 International Baccalaureate Diploma graduate of Lee Summit High School. He was currently attending Missouri University of Science and Technology at Rolla, majoring in nuclear and chemical engineering, hoping to help solve our nation's energy problems and explore the frontiers of nuclear medicine. Most importantly, he was an active member of the Church of Christ on Smart Road and was working hard at helping several Midwest congregations. Clint was preceded in death by his paternal grandfather, Wendell Sparks. Survivors include his parents, his sister, his brother-in-law, Amber and John Morris, his brother, Dylan Sparks, four nieces and nephew, paternal grandmother, Cariella Sparks, his maternal grandparents, Clifford and Irene Dyster, and numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. He is also survived by an overflowing cornucopia of brothers and sisters in Christ and friends whom he dearly loved. Clint died in the hope of a glorious resurrection in Christ. Clint Sparks was a dear friend and brother in Christ to me and several others here. We spent a lot of time together at meetings through the years, and I was blessed to be able to spend a great deal of time with him this year at various meetings before his passing. March 13 and 14. Clint and I, along with several other young men, spoke at a meeting at the Church of Christ, formerly located in Section, Kansas. April 3rd and 4th, Clint attended the meeting hosted by the Church of Christ on Dean Avenue. We enjoyed fellowship and edification with him there. May 4th, I wasn't there, but Clint celebrated his 19th birthday. On May 29th and 30th, the Memorial Day meeting was held at the Church of Christ on Murray Road. We again enjoyed fellowship and edification there together. On Monday, after the meeting, we had an opportunity to have some more fun together with Clint, Drew Tettmeyer, some donuts. And since Elena likes donuts so much, I'll let you ask her about that story later. On July 5th through the 9th was the Midwest Bible Campout in Eminence, Missouri, hosted by the Church of Christ on Prince Road. And I can't even begin to tell all the fun times that we shared together there. Clint spoke at the Flat Rock congregation during this meeting, and it was the 4th of July, and he gave an excellent lesson concerning our nation's history and transitioned to the history of the church. On Friday night, July 16th, Clint arrived at Elena's in my home. Elena was working that night, and Clint hadn't eaten, so we went over and enjoyed a meal at V-Bop's. And later that night, we had some good fun calling and disturbing some of our friends in the middle of the night. Saturday, we traveled to Clarinda for the traveling Bible study. We had a wonderful meeting, and on Sunday, Clint gave his final lesson. He spoke about bitterness and how it can separate us from God if we let it fester in our lives. It was a fitting lesson, seeing what was to come. And I hope none of us who are close to him are holding on to bitterness about his passing, or anything else for that matter. Several of us went together and saw a movie that night. Clint stayed over with Elena and me one last night before returning home on Monday. The next day at 4 p.m., Clint was killed in a car accident. Just like that, it was all over. One day he was here, the next he was gone. James 4:13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Does this make it real to you? Do you realize the brevity of life? It made it real to me. I'd heard about young kids dying when I was growing up, but the people weren't really that close and it didn't hit home. This one did. I shared all those stories about that time that I had with Clint to convey how life was going on just like normal. Everything was fine and as it should be. Clint had just been at our house. He planned to attend the two-week study. He left our house on Monday and probably would have been back up here Friday for the meeting. But he didn't make it. His vapor that was here for a short time suddenly disappeared. Our lives are truly vapors, aren't they? We never know when it will end. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Likewise, the day of judgment will come with no one knowing when it will happen. We neither know when nor how our end will come, but we must remember that it is coming, and perhaps sooner than we might like. Clint had given himself to the Lord. He had a life just like the rest of us, but he used that life for the Lord. He often had discussions about religion with others. He had several other speaking engagements beside the few I mentioned. He also sought to help current Christians grow. Many people after his death said they would miss those conversations with each other. They would miss encouraging one another, building each other up, and the correcting of one another. Clint was not a perfect man. He had faults, just like the rest of us, but he still did what he could to serve the Lord. He was an encouragement while he lived, and even after he's gone, he's still encouraging. Many baptisms have occurred since his passing, and also some have stepped up to fill the speaking engagements that I talked of Clint having. When Clint was killed, he was on his way to a Bible study. This wasn't a church service, but it was a weekly Bible study the young people have. Clint was one of the leaders of that study, and it's been hard for them not having Clint there, but they are still encouraged by him and have kept going. Clint's life had more of an impact than he probably ever knew. And he is a great example to follow as he followed and tried to imitate Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Brothers and sisters, what condition are we in? Are you just here on Sunday morning for the Lord's Supper, putting in your time? Is that what saves you? Does it save you if you're here for every Sunday morning, evening, and Wednesday evening? No. It's more than that, isn't it? It's our whole life that is to be devoted to God. And that isn't even good enough. Only through God's grace are we good enough to be saved. So examine yourself. Are you truly devoted to God? Are you truly being Christ-like? As we examine our life, is Christ evident in it? Do we talk about Him? Or are we just fooling ourselves that we are Christian when we show up for an hour or three or four a week? Has your faith become dead without works? The poem I opened with was written by Clint. Clint inherited his father's genius, and if you knew him, that was evident. My point is that Clint was bored by many things that would have challenged most of us. So Clint wrote that poem in English class one day while he was bored. And the last stanza of that poem gets some of its origin from the book of James that I was just alluding to. I'm going to read both. Faith and love are all that we know. Through our works, our faith we show. If the will of God we do here, home to heaven we may go. James 3, 17 and 18. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We need to be sure as Christians that we do more than just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to make this evident by our actions. We only have so long to live here. We don't know when our time will be up. We need to be ready always and watching. Our brother Larry George didn't know it was coming as quickly as it did. This was before my time, but Todd Turnquist didn't know it was coming either. I'm sure there are several more that each of you know that didn't know their end was coming as fast as it came. It might be you next. Don Berkman may not be at church this evening. Dean Hayes may not be here next week. Pick a name and put it in the blank. They might not be here next month. None of these are good things to think about. I chose those names randomly. It could be any one of us. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't even know if there will be a tomorrow. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That was 2 Peter chapter 3, 11 through 14. Are we ready for that day to come? Do we think about Christ's return and what it will be like? Do we think about how close our end might be? What about how close the end is for that person we know we should talk to about God, but we still haven't? I think we are all guilty of that sometimes to a degree, but that is no reason for us to linger in that state. Don't let the things of the world consume you and drag you down to the point that you fail to represent Christ. Rather, as Mike read this morning, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If we fill our minds with junk and things of the world, that's what we get out. If we fill our minds with good spiritual things, then that's what we get out. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Also, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We get out what we put in. This is true of most things in our world. And let's make sure that we are putting in Christ. Thus far, I've focused on Clint's life and death and how he affected others in these. We also explored the thoughts about ourselves to examine whether we are ready for death. Now I'd like to examine more scripture to see what we find of death. If we turn over to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, we see where death got its start. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face, and in the sweat of the face, your face, you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Earlier in Genesis, we can read how God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, because of man's sin, God says, "You will return to the dust." So in essence, God tells Adam, "You will die." Adam and Eve were banished from the garden and cut off from the tree of life. They were doomed to die. We are all doomed to die due to sin. We all have sin. None of us are perfect. So we are all doomed to death if we remain in our sin. Death entered the world through sin. If you look down in verse 21, God made tunics for Adam and Eve. They were made of skin, so something had to die. It was perhaps, in a way, a sort of first sacrifice. The lesson for Adam and Eve was, when you sin, death happens. Romans 3:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Also James 1:15, "Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So sin equals death. We all have sin. We are all condemned to die. But there is still hope. We will all die physically, but after that, we will continue to exist forever. If we accept Christ, we will have an opportunity to escape eternal death and the punishment we rightly deserve. Christ has offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sin and has taken it away if we accept him. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself." The Lord Jesus has taken our sin away. He has fulfilled the plan of the Father and has brought salvation to us all if we will accept it. The curse of Adam can be taken away if we obey. If we do not, we will suffer eternal death in hell. To wrap things up, I want to turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes and consider some of Solomon's thoughts concerning death. The first is in chapter 9, starting in verse 11. If you want to turn over there while I set things up. After somebody dies, God often tends to take some unfair blame. People blame God for this person dying. They think, "How could God let this happen? This is so awful. This person should not have died yet. Why did this happen? It's so unfair. If everything happens for a reason, why did this happen? How could this be a part of God's plan? It's all God's fault." These are not wise questions. God does have a plan, and it is clearly outlined in His inspired Word. His plan is that all men would be saved if they will obey Him and heed His Word. The plan is that through the sacrifice of His only begotten Son, we all have hope if we serve Him. This is the plan. Everything does not happen for a reason. Perhaps some things do happen for a reason, but not everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. For man also does not know his time, like a fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time, when it falls suddenly upon them. Just because you are fast doesn't mean you always win the race. You may be strong, but you won't win every fight. You may be wise and prudent, but your preparations may not always turn out how you thought. You may be smarter than anybody else around, but that doesn't mean you'll be the richest. And last, you might have the most skill, but it doesn't always guarantee you'll come out on top. And why is this? What causes these unpredictable outcomes? It is because time and chance happens to us all. God knows we are going to die. He knows when and He knows how. That doesn't mean He causes it to happen. God knew beforehand that Clint would die in a car wreck. This doesn't mean He caused it. To us, maybe it seems too early, but I doubt it seems that way in God's eyes. Verse 12 heeds us to be ready. Fish are taken in a net, a bird is caught in a snare, and their lives were going on normal and smoothly, but they changed in the wink of an eye. They went from normal to almost certain death instantly. And how does this compare to us? It's the same. We do not know our time. It can come upon us suddenly, and the things that we know will never be the same again. Brothers and sisters, we need to be ready for that day to come. We need to make sure we do things right, and get them taken care of now. All we have is now. We do not have tomorrow as a guarantee. We need to act now before it's too late. In chapter 7, still in Ecclesiastes, we find that death is not necessarily a bad thing. Verse 1 tells us that the day of death is better than the day of birth. Verse 8 is similar. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Isn't it nice when something ends? Isn't it nice to be done with work, done with a project, done with class? Won't it be nice when I'm done speaking? We may enjoy some things, but after a while we just want it to be done. If you're ready to meet the Lord and you had an opportunity to be done with this life today, would you not take it? It causes pain for those of us left behind, but if you are going home to meet the Lord, you are better off anyway. I'll leave you with these thoughts this morning. I urge you that you would consider your salvation. If you meet your death today, are you going to be saved? You might not have an opportunity tonight. All you have is now. Cradle not your crystal ego, still the cog and snatch the wheel. Beds of dirt are all that we know, save that neath death's reign we kneel. Tremble in the winds of bombast, tossing futures to and fro, weaving, ripping cloth of autumn, all seasons towards winter flow. Waver not as onward you go, drifting on the waves of time. Songs of love are all that we know, feel the rhythm, taste the rhyme. Close a grip upon the wind now, never hesitate, oh no, to latch on any chance to let your perseverance show. Wonder not how time and chaos all their symphonies compose. You will never cease to wonder till you fell to death's repose. Cry out loud with voice of thunder, serenade the stars on high. Let not any aspiration yet without fulfillment die. Lift your soul in jubilation, live for every raindrop holds, and its tiny perfect globule, all the beauty of a rose. Silence floats upon the surface as a fog or mist it blows, swirling evermore around us. Here and now are all we know. Hope, in all her rueful grandeur, looks down on the earth and knows that there are still many waiting, many people, high and low. On the peaks and in the gutters, people sigh but dare to hope that the flowing, fleeting moments bring them ever closer home. Faith and love are all that we know. Through our works, our faith we show. If the will of God we do here, home to heaven we may go. If you have not yet accepted the Lord as your Savior, please come forward and do so now before it's too late. If you have anything else to bring before the congregation that we can help you with, come forward as we stand and sing.